Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
Sorry,
guys,
I talked over your name.
Welcome to My Favorite Things Throwback Thursday. It's so nice of you all to be joining us like you do every Thursday. But I have to tell you that Rob and I are Skyping each other. I'm in New York City. Rob is in Cape Cod. And Rob, whenever we talk a little bit beforehand, because we haven't seen each other in a while, have a little catch up. And then we're like, okay, we're going to get started. And Rob does this thing where he takes the microphone away from his mouth, looks to his right, so I see him in profile. It's kind of like a Barbara Streisand picture, where you see her in profile. Yes. And he like has this moment, and it just makes me laugh because it's like him getting ready. Look at him, he's doing it right now. I wish you could see it.
I'm giving you the Rink silhouette picture. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you are. Well, that's a great graphic. That was a good graphic.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. How are you all?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking, Kevin.
Oh, good, Rob. You're good, too? I'm glad. Good. How's Cape Cod?
Cape Cod is amazing. I'm very excited. So we're starting rehearsals for Wonderful Town, and I sent Kevin a video clip because I'm really excited. The company up here, which is celebrating their 50th year, is called the College Light Opera Company, or CLOCK. And it's had a lot of amazing people come through its halls, like John Lee Beatty, the set designer, got started here. Dan Konecdis, Oh my God!
He's doing Bloody Bloody Jessica Fletcher. Actually, he's directing the reading of it that I'm doing.
Will Chase,
mm-hmm.
Andy Einhorn. Like a lot of big people have like come up here in 50 years. So it's a really prestigious group. But one of the cool things is they do 10 weeks and each week is a different show. So it's really true summer stock using the same cast. So
ooh,
I'm doing
wow.
Wonderful Town. The cast is 32, and I sent this to Kevin because I'm really excited. the company here does full orchestrations. So we have a 19-piece orchestra for Wonderful Town. And they were like, well, let's just practice the overture and hear what it sounds like. And I videotaped it, and it sounded amazing. And I sent it to Kevin.
It's so good. And I wrote back, I'm so jealous of that music director who gets to create the original orchestrations and hear that sound and hear those singers do it. I just think what a beautiful thing to preserve is doing
right?
The original orchestrations at a small, sweet little theater that can do that. And you said a lot of them were student musicians, masters, and their masters in music.
Yeah, it's a very
amazing.
Yeah, which is awesome. So a lot of them, I'm asking, like they get their MMs and they done this or they just got their MMs. So it's very,
right.
very exciting, and they're really, really passionate about it. And it's so cool. It's
wonderful.
Just really, really cool to hear. And once again, check out this company because their season does a lot of great obscure things. Oh, they have all their programs on the walls from previous shows. Kevin, you know it was on there?
What?
And they only did it a few years ago. Robert and Elizabeth.
Kevin Daly, do you hear this right now? Kevin Daly is the one who showed that show to me. That's why it became a favorite thing.
Yes.
Kevin, I cannot believe that they did Robert and Elizabeth. The Robert Elizabeth, I'll remind everybody, is a very, very difficult musical theater piece that came to us from England, but it had to star opera people because the singing was just so out of this world, so difficult. But I just am so impressed that they did that. I wish I could have seen it.
It's a lot of obscure operas, operettas, and a lot of obscure musical theater pieces that don't get done a lot. Like a couple of years ago, I know they did Boys from Syracuse.
Oh, I love that
me
score.
Too.
Oh.
Me too. So if you're in the it's in West Falmouth on Cape Cod. So if you ever get around here, come check it out because, like I said, they're doing really, really great things and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. So obviously they're doing something right.
Yeah, shout out to that artistic director for choosing outside-the-box choices and getting people to come see them. I commend you because I was just talking to my class today saying, yo, most summer theaters, you know, they do the popular shows and then they'll do their one show that's artistic, but the other shows have to pay for that.
Yes.
But I'm really impressed that they can create a season and do original orchestrations and everything and do underknown shows that deserve another look. So that's
it's
cool.
Amazing. And what's so cool is the audience here, they buy their season subscription and every week they're seeing a different show. And they come rain or shine, which I think is just really, really incredible. There's new artistic directors here now, and they're gearing things a little bit more towards the contemporary side of things. So this year, there's only a couple of operas, but mostly some new, contemporary shows like Pippin and Cabaret.
Contemporary?
And The Music Man.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with, like, Parade.
No, but they just did Hunchback last year.
Oh, all right. Yeah, like everybody. Yeah.
And this year they're doing Pirates and Iolanthe.
Oh. I like Pirates of Penzance. I'm not going to lie. Really love that score. I like With Cat Like Tread. Love it. It's so good.
I was already ready to do it.
You did the pump. I love it.
I love that 1981 with Joe Papp. The Joe Papp production, I think, is just
amazing. Can watch it. You could watch it right now, right? I mean, it's with Linda Ronstadt and Kevin Kline.
Yes.
That famous operetta singer, Linda Ronstadt.
I think she's pretty damn good. And Rex Smith.
Oh, I think she's great. Rex Smith, that famous opera tenor. No, it's good.
Bring it back, people. Bring it back.
Speaking of off-Broadway and Joe Papp in the public theater, it's really great that they preserved that. You know, it's not a favorite thing today, but it really is pretty amazing that they preserved that production for video.
I got all excited. I was like, oh, maybe that's just part of the favorite thing.
Nope, that was just a little bonus extra.
Just a little bonus extra.
Just a little teaser.
Can I do a little bit of self-promotion?
You better. You know I like it when you self-promote.
That's disgusting. If you remember a while ago, we had a favorite thing. And our favorite thing was two gentlemen who run a publication called Musical Theater Today. Mm-hmm. Remember when Ben and Lucas came by?
Yes, I do remember. We talked about their first volume.
Yes, so their second volume is coming out in a couple of weeks. And they were kind enough. They asked me to write an article for it.
Rob Schneider.
If you want, you can read my article on podcasting. How cool.
What is that? Podcast?
It's called podcasting.
Oh, that's what it's about.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It's about how theater could more effectively use the art of podcasting in order to communicate to global audiences.
Let me just tell everybody, I know you, because you won't say this. Rob is such a good writer, you guys. Look at him. He's shaking his head and he won't let me say this, but he is. He's such an amazing writer. And so I'm for one, am very, very excited to read this article. That's really exciting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much. If you want, my other plays that I've written are going to be performed behind the Wendy's here in Cape Cod. I just go into a Wendy's restaurant
and just sit.
Well, they won't even let me in the restaurant. I perform behind the Wendy's.
Oh, I see where the dumpster is and where the cars drive around for the drive through.
The New York Times said that my production of Pericles and my Chocolate Softie were two of the best things they had all season.
This is like James Corden and his Crosswalk musicals, which I love watching.
Oh, I haven't watched any of those. So head on over to Musical Theater Today, today.com, to get a 20% off their list price. They're doing that right now if you want to do presale. Because also other people that are writing in it besides me, Michael John Lacusa, Max Vernon, Kirsten Childs, Rachel Bloom, David Henry Wang. So it's an illustrious group that I'm very excited to be a part of.
I am so excited for you, and it makes sense that their sophomore effort will, you know, perhaps even have more detail and even greater articles and more specificity on what we do in this business. And I love that they capture the writers, the agents, the casting directors, every podcast. I mean, hello, we have a podcast. I mean, I think it's great that you're a part of that, Rob. So that is really exciting.
I'm very excited. I'm really excited with the work that Lucas and Ben do. I'm trying to think if there's any big theater things we need to talk about.
I wrote down that I saw an article like a week ago. That the casting and the producers are mediating still about the union stuff.
Because they
won't. Casting directors and and I know that they're getting a little bit closer. I think that's an interesting thing. Just to clock, you know, what's going on that front. I want to give a shout out to my friend Bill Cooks who wrote us on our Facebook. Bill and I actually, when I met my wife playing Romeo and Juliet with her, he played her dad. He was Lord Capulet, and he wrote us and said, "Oh, I loved what you were talking about with David Craig, the book, because I took his class and it changed my life." And I was like, my first thought was, because I know Bill is a diehard musical theater fan and he's been around for a little bit and has known a lot of people. But I was like, how did I never talk to him about this before? Because I don't really know anyone other than the people we've interviewed that have actually taken his class. So I thought it was really nice of Bill to shout out and say hi. And he's a boy, he works all the time, and it's always great to see his name and that he follows things. And I love the Harvey Evans feedback that we've gotten from this past interview this week. I thought that was a nice chat we had with Harvey, and a real celebration of his career and the business, which was nice.
I think so too. I was so happy that we got Harvey, because when I reached out to him and said, "Do you want to do this?" He goes, I have a tendency to tell the same stories over and over again. And I was like, I don't care how many times you tell the same story over and over again. Everything you have to say is brilliant and wonderful. I am happy that he agreed to do it.
Same. I thought it was an honor to get to spend that much time with him and hear those old stories. And yeah, it was special.
Yeah. He's a wonderful link. He's just a wonderful, wonderful link to a time gone by. And he's still, what is he, in his late 70s, early 80s? Early 80s,
I believe so. Yeah.
And you wouldn't know it.
Semi-retired, you know, and he's going to do the working concert. That's really, really good. That'll come up in August, just so everyone knows. You'll hear us talk about it because Rob's directing and I'm music directing, and Stephen Schwartz is going to be there, and we'll probably talk about it. It's at 54 Below, August 12th, I believe.
Yes.
I just came into my head.
We just like to promote. No, but I'm so happy. We've got some other great guests coming up down the line, which we're also very excited about. So keep tuning into us every Monday to see what other wonderful legends sit down with us. Also, I thought our Beth Level interview was pretty fabulous.
I cut out like 2 minutes of that. I mean, I edit those interviews, everyone, just full disclosure. And yeah, there was like nothing. I didn't know what else to, I just giggled the entire time that I listened to that interview.
She's too funny. She's just too, too funny. So actually, speaking of too funny,
okay. Good transition, Rob. Good transition.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say, let's talk about our favorite things, but if your favorite thing isn't funny, then it's going to be I let it down here a little bit.
It's not funny, but I bet yours is funny. What do you got?
Actually, mine is. Mine is funny.
I had a feeling.
So I'll jump in. Okay, so I was debating between doing either this one or another one that I'm gonna do later on. But I know we try not to get political on here, and we try to make this like a little safe.
I'm sorry. Safe this week, all bets are off this week.
But because we're in rehearsals here for about like 10 hours a day, and we don't have internet really. The internet right now that I'm using is from my phone. So I literally don't look at the news, and then I get home and I look at the news and I go, what in God's name is going on here? So I've been so depressed this past week and giving to like every charity that I can possibly give to, and I've been trying to make as many donations as possible. I'm just really sick to my stomach. So there was one I was going to give, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of sad. So I want to give something that's just going to cheer everybody up. I hope it cheers everybody up, because I think we could all use a laugh right now.
I think so. And that's what theater's for, isn't it?
Yes. Okay.
Sometimes.
So this is wonderful. This is a YouTube channel, which if you listen to our podcast, you probably have experienced it at some point, because it's probably right up your alley. But if you haven't, I'd love to introduce you to a YouTube channel that really makes me laugh, called The Punchy Players. P-U-N-C-H-Y Players. The Punchy Players. No, Kevin. Get ready. The Punchy Players. So if you're unaware of what they are, The Punchy Players is this YouTube channel where two gentlemen, Jeff Marquis and Chris Tassin. I hope I pronounced Jeff's last name right. It's either Jeff Marquis or Jeff Marquis and Chris Tassin take clips of old Hollywood icons and dub them over in their own voices.
And what?
They first acclaimed some fame in 2010 when they I'm trying to describe the visual style. It's kind of almost like South Park. So what they do is they take video stills of, let's say, like Judy Garland, and they move her mouth to actually make it look like Judy Garland is speaking, but they're using their own voices to say what's coming out of Judy Garland's mouth. So the most famous clip of theirs, which really started this all
off.
They're
singing.
No, they're talking. There's a little singing, okay, but it's mostly talking.
I found one that was singing. Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Yes, so the most famous one that got launched them was called Judy's Cream of Wheat. And in Judy's Cream of Wheat, Liza Minnelli comes into the kitchen and asks Judy Garland for breakfast. And Liza and Judy doesn't know what to have. And then she looks under the cabinet and there's Cream of Wheat. And she sings the Cream of Wheat theme song. And the whole kitchen disappears. And she's on like a lit up box of Cream of Wheat like it's her stage. There's another funny one where Judy, this is my favorite because I'm like, what were these people smoking? And this guy, Chris, by the way, does all the voices. He does every single person's voice, and it sounds so good. My favorite one is Liza and Judy go grocery shopping. They go grocery shopping together, and the only thing Judy will buy are things that have a commercial jingle so she can sing the jingle in the grocery store. And she goes, my bologna has a first name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. She goes, M-A-Y-E-R? That spells Maya. I'm not interested. Like Oscar. No, not Oscar Mayer. Oh, no, I screwed up. Louis B. Mayer. But it gets even better because guess who rings them up at the grocery store? Ann Miller. Ann Miller is their checkout lady. So
it is so wacky.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's right up your alley, and it's going to give you a good laugh. A couple of other favorites of mine are the Mary Poppins screen tests, where you meet different people who could have auditioned for Mary Poppins. And like I said, this guy Chris does all the voices, and this guy Jason does all the visuals, and they make a pretty good. No, I'm sorry, Jeff does all the voices. My apologies, Jeff does all the voices. Chris does all the visuals. It's really, really funny, and my personal favorite, just because I'm sure by the podcast now you know that I love old Lucy. Go to Aunt Fanny's Ice Cream. Aunt Fanny's Ice Cream, because Lucille Ball, Judy Garland, and Julie Andrews decide to go get ice cream with each other before they go see Kick-Ass 2. And who's working there but Matthew Broderick is the person who's the ice cream store person. And then on top of that, Ann Miller is, once again, the manager of the ice cream parlor.
That is, and like I said, when you see this, I was just looking at it. It's like cutouts of them from movies that they sort of reanimate. And I remember Ray Camp, one of our listeners, mentioning this to us in an email, that this YouTube channel. And I remember watching it then. And now I'm looking at it again. And I can't wait to go down this rabbit hole, Rob, because it looks very funny.
And the clips are really funny. They're only like 2 to 3 minutes each. But like I said, start with Judy's Cream of Wheat. Then watch Judy and Liza go grocery shopping. Because you just sit there and you're like, oh, and then there's an episode where they parody Hoarders, and it's Ann Miller who's hoarding. And Judy Garland's like, she goes, I pulled the dresser aside, and what was there but Howard Keel? It's very funny. And I think in this, just in what's going on in our world today,
I think
a really good laugh is needed. So please go to YouTube. Please go to Punchy Players and have a really, really good laugh, because I think we all deserve one.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay. So my favorite thing this week is also on the YouTube. While you're there checking out the Punchy Players, I discovered this singer from a YouTube channel that I often go to. I don't know if he's a listener of the podcast, but this guy, Alan, has the most incredible musical theater clips. They are the rare ones that you don't often see, and I'm just obsessed, and I will often just go down rabbit hole and just check out all these things. And I discovered this singer that I never had ever heard about. And before I tell you anything about her, I'm just going to preface this by saying, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there was a whole kind of genre of music that we don't really, we have today, but it's not as popular as it was. And that's jazz pop singing. You know, that started with like Billie Holiday and all of that. And then Jack Jones and all of that, these people that, and Mimi Hines, you know, they did this, the talk shows on Perry Como, places that we don't hear about that are sometimes on that one channel that your mom watches on like late night TV, me TV usually, but
decades and
they're right. Yes, exactly. And they're, I mean, so this singer, her name is Kay Starr. Now, some of you might say, oh my God, I love Kay Starr. But some of you might be like, I have never heard that name ever in my entire life. Kay Starr was a contract player. She was with, not contract, but a recording player with Columbia, I believe. But she kind of always got the songs that Peggy Lee didn't want. She was sort of, you might say, the one step below them in a way. Even though to me, she could sell a song. Oh, I'll talk about that in a minute. She lived to be 94. She was born in 1922 American Indian reservation in Oklahoma. And she's 3/4 Native American. She began singing at a very, very young age. And like I said, that there was style of singing was more pop centric back then. The Billboard hits, if they were a Broadway song, were done in a little more popular sounding way. And so she grew up touring around in clubs, and her mother was her manager and helped her out along the way. Billie Holiday was an influence on her, but when I watched the first video of her, Rob, I was completely transfixed by the way this woman communicates a song. I would say to any young lover of and performer of musical theater that go back and watch a Kay Starr video from the 50s or 60s, because the way that that woman delivers a pop song or even a theatrical song in a pop way, she fills every single moment between the lines. You feel like she wrote the song in a way, even though it's a song that was written by Cole Porter or someone else, but she communicates in a seamless way that you feel like she is always connected to the lyric. Here's a couple things that I would, if you're interested in this, the first thing I want you to do, just to get a sense of who she is, just type in Kay, that's K-A-Y, Starr with two R's, Kay Starr, and then type in Perry Como, and then type in Nobody's Business. In this clip from the Perry Como show from 1960, there's another clip. There's a couple Perry Como clips of her. But she sings this, there's three songs she sings, two solos first. Please watch them. It's black and white video, but her execution of these songs is just delicious. And then Perry comes out, and he's like, he's an old crooner too, for those of you who don't know. He wasn't old then. But and they go ahead and sing this duet, Nobody's Business. Kind of like, it's the song's essentially a jazzy song that says, basically, whatever I would do at night is my own business, and you don't need to know about that. And what I like, and you know I talk about this a lot, Rob, but I love the old talk shows in the old days, because nobody was precious about how they were. They weren't trying to worry that some clip was going to go viral. They didn't even know probably that someone in 2018 was going to watch them. So you get this chemistry between Perry Como and Kay that is just, it's kind of sexy. And they're like next to each other, but they mess up the song. She says, oh, you did that better in rehearsal. And it's just charming and funny. And to me, it is the ideal way to perform a pop or even musical theater song in a cabaret setting or in any really setting that is, that you want it to feel like it is coming from you, that you wrote the song. And that's ultimately what we try to teach young people today, that are, or anybody today that wants to sing a song. So that's a good place to start. Yes, Rob, you go ahead. I can see you want to say something.
No, I'm reading about her right now.
Oh, she, and here's the other thing. I mean, on a more personal note, she had six husbands, but when you watch clips of her being interviewed by the way, you know who interviewed her in 1993? Skip E. Lowe. He's back.
Yeah, Skippy's back.
He really goes, and his friends, if you've listened to us before, you know that he's sometimes on Public Access, and there's a whole history there. And
my brother and I are obsessed with him, Skippy Lowe.
Well, and he really gets, he pushes on her a little bit, and he really tries to get questions. You know, the first question he asks her is like, how'd you get here? You know, like, what? Because her career peaked in the 50s and 60s during the Korean War. She sang a lot of, you know, war tunes. She was just one of those people that were so big. And then as television evolved and things happened, just like Mimi Hines, we sort of lost track of her a little bit. Mm. She still performed, but we just, you know, she didn't, she wasn't as present as other people were with the times. So, but you can check out this Skip E. Lowe 1993 interview on, if you want to hear her actually talk about her, where she came from and how she got to where she was. You can check that on YouTube. And then also, if you type in K-Star, 1986 Nashville Now, this was a concert or a show that was on TV through Nashville, because she was equally comfortable doing jazzy pop stuff as she was doing country. I mean, she was from Oklahoma, and I would think that she could lend her voice very well to that. Her voice has this very – it's unlike any of the crooners of that generation. It's very bright. It's very forward. It's a very present sound, and it's also effortless. You don't have any of like the singing schwas that Judy Garland has or Barbara Streisand has, but what you have is a very clean, forward sound that I happen to really enjoy. Anyway, if you go to this Nashville Now clip, go to minute 7:38. That's when she comes on. She explains her career. She sings a little. I think if you have the same taste that we do and you listen to this podcast, you will say to yourself, "How did I never know that this singer existed?" She's known, by the way, if you remember, she was saying the Wheel of Fortune was one of her big songs for Capitol Records, as was the Rock and Roll Waltz. I think it's one of those things. We'll post clips, but if you've heard it, you would be like, "Oh yes, I've heard of that." But I really want a younger generation to hear her, because I think old generation will remember her name and say, "Oh yeah, I remember she was a singer." But I think a younger generation could really use seeing this to me, legend execute these songs in such an effortless, personal way that we could really study from today.
And that's amazing, because I think what I'm realizing here is I've heard her voice before and I've just never associated a name to the voice.
Yes.
What was I going to say? Oh, I'm looking her up as you're talking. And have you seen this quote of hers that I like? It says, "A singer is no more than an actor set to music."
Oh my gosh. I mean, Rob, I cannot believe that K-Star. I didn't find that, because that to me embodies everything when you watch her sing. It's like she makes every single word and note personal, and that's what we strive to do as musical theater actors. So and she was doing it before anyone else was. She was doing it in the 50s, and I thought that's – and back then, I will say, the lines were separated. You were a pop singer. You were an actress who only did plays. You were a musical theater singer who was in the musicals. You know, like, it's only later on in the 60s that we really sort of did the crossover. You can hear that when people talk about it in our interviews, where they say, well, you know, Rex Harrison led the way for people that were actors to do musicals in My Fair Lady. You know, it's very interesting. So, and this is a woman who was acting in her pop stylings, and that's, I guess, what gets me.
And it seems like she was performing right up until she passed.
That's right. And yeah, towards the end of her life, I believe she had Alzheimer's, and I think she slowed down a little bit. But yeah, she was performing all the way into the 90s, and wow. She would have been in her 80s around then. So I wish I could have seen her live, and I think she was could be one of those performers that you know, ostensibly could be lost to the next generation if we don't celebrate her. And thank goodness that those clips are on YouTube, and that there are enough people that remember and are fans of that kind of work that we can still see it today when they otherwise could have been lost.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. So I'm going to go down the K-Star rabbit hole, because now I'm really curious.
And I'm going to go down the Punchy Players rabbit hole, because I need a good laugh.
I think we all need a good laugh. And it wasn't K-Stars. Didn't one of her, it wasn't one of them. Oh shoot, what's it called? It's a good day for da-da-da-da, man. It's a good day.
It sounds like it. That sounds like it. It probably is.
It's a K-Star song, I think. I could be wrong.
It's you.
Could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know much of anything.
Or it might have been a song cut from your Burger King show that you did out back. But that was in the back alley down in Bowling Green. But that's a whole other story. So we'll talk about that.
That's a experimental production of Fortune in Men's Eyes.
Where is my big whopper?
Pull that reference out for everybody. But if you want, let me just run through my schedule really quickly. If you want, come see me behind McDonald's, where I'm doing Lost in Yonkers. That's going to be at the that's going to be at the Arby's on 40th Street. I'm very excited. Do you know what it's like to touch steel, Mama? I got an Obie for that. And by Obi, I mean I got 5 stars in Employee of the Month, so I'm real proud there. And then join us all next week when my production.
Oh, God. What's he going to do?
Sorry, I'm tired. I'm just losing, and I apologize. Join me next week when my production of Nikki Silver's Pterodactyls is going to transfer from Behind the Wendy's to ART. No, I'm sorry. That's KFC. We're transferring to KFC.
Not there you go. There you go.
If you have any ideas from any other fast food shows, send them my way because Daddy needs money.
Good job, Rob.
God, thank you. Help us all. All right. By the way, nice shirt, Kevin. Kevin has like seagulls on his shirt. What is that?
I got this little this shirt with like little birds on it.
Oh, that's really cute.
Thank you.
That's really cute. I wish you all could see it. Sometimes I hate that you're only listening to us. And sometimes I think that you hate that you're listening to us as well.
If you made it this far, you're welcome.
If you've made it this far, that means your car radio has that thing where it doesn't let you touch the knobs while you're driving. If you're listening to us, it means you fell asleep listening to Broadway Backstory and this just naturally rolled in. we're sorry. When you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm going to listen to something good, then you fall asleep and you wake up and something else is on. You're like, what is that? So
on episode 75 of this, what is this?
what is this crap? Oh my gosh! All right, we will see you.
Have a wonderful week.
You too, my friend. I will see you next week. And then, who's our guest for next week?
I don't know. Who do you want to be on Monday?
Maybe our listeners.
We're going to talk about this when we sign off, we'll talk about this. Or we could talk about it now. But...
Oh, no. We'll sign off because we have to leave some anticipation.
Well, yes. Yeah, all right. We've got a couple options. All right. Bye, everybody.
Till next time. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.